Parshas Ve'era, Tavshin Samach Zayin. To continue the theme that we began last week, let's review for a moment to just remind ourselves what roads we're going down here. We began to talk about the idea that Moshe's mission, was that of redeeming speech. Now, of course, his mission was to redeem Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, but the redemption of the nation, the physical redemption of their bodies from the hostile environment that they found themselves in, which we said Chazal compared to a fetus and a mother, the environment that they had lost their identity within, that extraction was just the physical expression of a redemption that was taking place on a spiritual level. Spiritually, they had lost their association with pure, pristine monotheism. They were falling to Avodah Zarah. Intellectually, they were very close to understanding, accepting Avodah Zarah. In fact, the truth is that if you look later on in the Navi, actually, by Yechezkel, you will see that he makes reference to the fact that Moshe came to Mitzrayim to tell the Jewish people to remove their Avodah Zarah from themselves, and they did not listen. And it's in Yirmiyahu, Perek Chaf in Yirmiyahu, that they came to Moshe came to tell Bnei Yisrael to remove the Avodah Zarah, and they didn't, and nevertheless Hashem redeemed them, which, by the way, could be another explanation to the Kal V'chomer that Moshe makes regarding Paro and Bnei Yisrael, when he says, if Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to me, which the Navi Yirmiyahu explains is with not removing their Avodah Zarah, then how will Paro listen to me and come to accept the fact that they should serve you, Hashem? By the way, in addition, there were prominent Jews within Egypt who themselves had somehow privileged status and themselves had slaves. And Moshe also was referring to the fact that if they don't release their slaves, how will Paro listen to me to release his slaves? So we see that they were far from who they had been as the children of the Avos and Imahos. And we said that the Zohar says that Dibor was in Gullus and Dibor had to be redeemed. And we explained the idea from Rav Soloveitchik that speech is what indicates that in the action that is visible, there is an intellect at work. That speech links the deed to the thought. And we understood that when a person can speak and express what it is that is in their mind, in their seichel, what it is on the highest level that their neshama truly wants, then they know who they are, they know what their yearnings are, they know what lies in store for them, what they're meant to aspire to, then they can begin to act on it. And so Moshe had to give them, as Rav Soloveitchik says, a voice, make them into a speaking people, put them from the periphery of history to the center of history and give them a story to tell. And as we read from the history books, we have the most important story to tell. But we mentioned something in passing, and that will be the theme of today, to develop this further. We mentioned that the generation and the shortcomings of the generation is always commensurate. It always somehow relates to their leader and the leader's difficulty or shortcoming. And so it wasn't just the Jewish people that couldn't speak because they had at this point no vision of the glorious future, the heights of Ruchnius that would be theirs eventually. They couldn't speak because they had no ideas to convey. Moshe himself had a speech problem. And that needs some analysis. Now, on a simple, most basic level, okay, Rav Hirsch explains this based on Midrashim, that it is unusual that a Navi should have a mum. In fact, it's one of the things that disqualifies a Navi. A Navi is not allowed to have a mum. He has to be very strong and very, and Rambam lists all the criteria and powerful and rich and good looking, a man of stature, all kinds of things. Now, it's strange that a Navi should have a mum. In this case, certainly a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. In this case, Rav Hirsch explains that the mum was critical. Because if he was a man gifted with oratorial skills, then it can be argued that he was very, very inspiring and charismatic. And he worked the people up into some type of a frenzy. And they followed him because of who he was. and not necessarily because of his message. So the fact that he had some type of speech problem could work for us, okay, for the legitimacy of the Jewish people. However, there are enough midrashim that do not hold, enough chazal that do not hold that he had any physical speech problem at all, and it is a questionable legend about the coals that he put in his mouth instead of the jewels or whatever. Not everyone holds that he had any physical problem. And certainly it's important to understand what was going on with Moshe's mouth and Moshe's inability to speak, and then later his great ability to speak. There's something deeply embedded here that's certainly not superficial in nature, and that's what we're looking for. So the way we're starting is, turn back to Perek Dalet and look in Psukim, look in Pasuk Yud. And this is where Moshe makes the argument. Be Ado, right? Please Hashem. Lo ish devarim anochi. I am not a person of many words, of words. Gam mitmol, gam mishilshom, gam me'az, dabercha el avadecha, which is here where Rashi says he was standing for 7 days. And he says, ki kavad peh, kavad lashon anochi. My mouth and my tongue are very heavy. Now, he is expressing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he can't speak in simple level because he has something that doesn't let him form the words correctly. Somehow his tongue and his mouth, which are physical organs, have something that holds them back, that weighs them down. Now, Moshe knows that no shortcoming that he has, no particular deficiency that he has, is going to hold him back if Hashem decides that he should be the messenger. I mean, is he informing Hashem of something Hashem doesn't know? Or is he asking Hashem to cure him? Or is he simply stating, this mission does something doesn't make any sense to me, because how can I be sent on this mission if I can't speak? Which is a funny kind of problem to have, because obviously Hashem can cure anybody at any time, right? In fact, that's what Hashem answers him. It's almost redundant. Vayomer Hashem Elav, and Hashem says to him, Mi sam pel adam, who has given a person a mouth? O mi asum ilaim, who has made someone dumb, which means speechless? O cheresh, or deaf? O pikeach, which means sighted? O iver, or blind? Halo anochi Hashem. Look, I'm the one who gives everybody these faculties anyway, so don't worry. Isn't this like self-evident, the question and the answer? And then he goes on to say, "Va'ata, so now, go, lech, v'anochi eya impicha, I will be with your mouth, v'horesicha asher tedaber, and I will teach you, show you what you shall say." We have to analyze this little exchange very carefully. Is Moshe here assuming that Hashem, that he has a shortcoming that there's no way around? Obviously not. And in Hashem's answer, there's obviously something that Moshe needs to learn. The way we're going to start is by looking at Hashem's answer and identify, please, which of these do not belong. Bikeach. Among all the blemishes, blind, deaf, dumb, is sighted. That needs to be understood. It's possible that what's happening here is that Moshe is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, you're sending me on a shlichus as a Navi. And a Navi, we know the rule, a normal rule about a Navi. The normal rule about a Navi is he gets a message, and based on their ability to translate it, they can convey it to the others. In fact, not every Navi had the same ability to understand the message they were given. So, for example, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Yirmiyahu and asks him if what he sees, and at the first one of the first Nevuahs, and he says, I see a branch blossoming, and Hashem says, good, you saw well. In other words, not every Navi had the capacity to quite grasp, perhaps, and convey what they were saying. So Moshe, as we were saying before, as we were developing, is that Moshe is expected now to give these people a message about the events that will come to be, about the great heights they will achieve, about this revelation of Hashem at Har Sinai, and he himself has never experienced this, How can he convey to them? How can he adequately describe to them what he has no working experience with, which is beyond him also? And this is a legitimate problem that Moshe has. How do I go forward? Hashem says, who gives everybody these faculties, and including among the blemishes is sight. But the word to focus on is, V'horesicha asher tedaber. And I will simply put, I will show you what you shall speak. However, in the Medrash Rabbah, Rabbi Simon says on these words, V'horesicha, this is a striking, shocking idea, but it explains a lot of things. V'horesicha, Rabbi Simon says, Melashon hara, to conceive. He says, I will recreate you as a completely new person. You're right. You don't have the faculties now to explain what I have in store for these people. You don't even have the ability as a Navi necessarily yet. You haven't yet. Moshe still hasn't reached the great heights he would reach at Har Sinai. Hashem is telling him here that he will make him over into a completely new person. Now, what kind of new person? If you look further, he says, continues, and he explains exactly what kind of a person he's going to make him into. Look in Pasuk Tes Zayin. Tells him that Aaron will join him. V'diber hu lecha el ha'am. He will speak on your behalf to the nation. Look at the next words. V'hayahu yihyeh lecha lepeh. He will be your mouthpiece. V'ata tiyelo le'elokim. And you will be to him as an Elohim. How do we normally translate that pasuk? Is like an Elohim, someone more powerful than him. So Rav Avram ben Harambam, the son of the Rambam, says b'shem his father, the Rambam, who says he heard it from his father, who says he heard it from the Rimi Gash, who says he heard it from the Rif, who said he heard it from Rav Saji Gaon, that this is Pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making him into a malach. And Aaron will be the Navi. Because that's how Nevuah always works. Nevuah always works that the Navi hears from a malach. No one hears directly from Hashem. The Navi hears from a malach. Here, Moshe is being elevated to the level of the malach, and Aaron is his Navi. Now this is very difficult, except the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, has a very strange lashon. He says, Hashem made Asa Moshe Rabbeinu, he made Moshe Rabbeinu, V'Rabban Shokol HaNeviyin, he made him into Moshe Rabbeinu, and he made him the leader of all the Neviyim, and then he sent him. This medrash that the V'horesicha, that I will make you lashon hara, that I will actually create you into a brand new person, comes from Shemos Rabba Perek Gimel, and it's 16. It's the entry number 16. It doesn't really go in Pesukim. What we're looking at here is an idea that begins to answer a lot of questions about a lot of things and help us understand how Moshe's problem and his fear of going and what he says later on to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because later he doesn't tell Hashem that he is Kaved Peh V'Kaved Lashon. Later he calls himself what? Arel Sefasayim. And it's a different issue. It's a completely different madriga. We're talking about the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Moshe and made him unique from all the other Nevi'im. Remember how Moshe's Nevuah is different than every other one's Nevuah? It's different because Moshe was not like a regular Navi. Most of them were sleeping, and they were in a state of trauma. And it was at night, and they were lying down, and they had a vision. That was not the case. Moshe was awake, face-to-face, in a state of calm composure, and he saw Ba'aspak Larya Me'ira. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him here is, and the Medrash says, from now on, from here on in, Shechina medaberet mitoch grono shel Moshe. The Shechina will just emanate from the mouth of Moshe. Shechina medaberet mitoch grono shel Moshe. Now Moshe is being asked to, now being raised up to a madriga that he himself obviously was, no one could have been prepared for. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making him aware that will be the arrangement between him and between Aaron. And now we begin to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you're right, you tell me you're Kaved Pev, a Kaved Lashon, just flip back there for a moment, in Perek Dalet. You tell me you're Kaved Pev, a Kaved Lashon. You tell me that you can't convey these ideas because you yourself perhaps aren't even so familiar with them, because you yourself haven't experienced these great things. This is true. But you're about to change completely. And I am the person that gives people faculties. And there are faculties that are, that could be considered a blemish, that don't, things that don't work right. This is irrelevant, because all of these don't matter. It's not Moshe really anymore. And now Hashem adds, I make blind and mute and deaf. And then he adds the one that's not a blemish. I make sighted. It is a blemish. Being a pikeach is a blemish. Because seeing with regular physical eyes that only evaluate the situation at hand and cannot see the big picture and cannot see the invisible and cannot see what's going on in the upper spheres, that's a blemish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removing all the blemishes from Moshe. Not only will he speak now and not be held back by his inability to convey ideas, he will also begin to see now on a completely different level. He will not see anymore with physical eyes and just evaluate a physical situation. He is going to be asked to see, eventually will be raised up to the Madrega, which is called Aspaklaria Meira. Perfect vision, understanding everything. In fact, the Medrash says, seeing how the Seder of the whole world runs. So Hashem is removing from him a number of blemishes here, including vision. Notice that the word pikeach, the first time we're introduced to the word v'tipakachna, pikeach, opening their eyes, was after the chet. Now it's obvious, and Rambam says this in Mor Nevuchim, it's obvious that because of a sin, they're not going to now be blessed with some greater asset. So the fact that their eyes open doesn't indicate that they're getting better, that they've achieved something more, more to their benefit, that they've reached a higher level. The fact that they sinned and the immediate repercussion is v'tipakachna enei shneihem, their eyes open, means they fell. So being now seeing with one's eyes is a shortcoming. Because originally, how did Adam and Chava see? Yes, what were, they had eyes, but what were their eyes for? Their eyes for not tripping over a rock and seeing when the fruit was ripe. It was not for evaluating the essence of something. It was not for seeing the emes. It was not for knowing what was the motivations, the reasons, the core, the purpose of things, why things had to be. It wasn't the Shechina that allowed a person, as we see with sunlight, with regular eyesight, we see the outside features of a person. With the Ar HaShechina, with the eyes of the Neshama, you see the inside features of a person and of the world itself, the whole Bria. So the closing of the spiritual eyes is expressed through the opening of the physical eyes. When Adam and Chava sinned, they brought a certain darkness into their spiritual abilities, and they brought more light, more vision coming through their physical eyes, and now they're left in a terrible predicament, which we're all in, which is trying to understand and evaluate things based on what we see. It doesn't work that well. So pikeach, having sight, is a shortcoming, which is why the avos lost their sight at the end of their life. Yaakov was old and he went crossed his hands, remember? Yitzchak was old and couldn't see, and he gave the bracha to Yaakov. Not being able to see is a bracha, because it means a person is released from the limitations of evaluating things with the way they seem to the eye. And they're able to evaluate things more for the essence. By the way, Chazal say, Suma, a blind person is nechshav kames, is like a dead person. Now, we had a lot of blind ancestors. That doesn't mean they're worthless. Dead means the following. Just like a dead person can no longer lose the madrigos that they work so hard to achieve because lo sasur achrei nechem, because they'll be seduced and sidetracked by what their eyes tell them, since a dead person can no longer lose those achievements because they're no longer, a victim of their eyes, so to a blind person is also no longer in danger of losing those madrigos by the eyes leading them astray. So it is, bikeach is a mum, and it's listed among the blemishes. And my father-in-law, by the way, pointed this out to me a number of years ago. And it's listed among the blemishes, and this blemish too will be healed for Moshe. He will begin to see ba'aspaklaria mi'ira, with a perfect insight of the whole workings of things. He will begin. He doesn't, not right away. And he will also begin to speak and let Hashem actually speak through him. And he will be raised to the level, as we said, he'll be raised to the level of Malach, which explains how he could be up on Har Sinai for 7 days, I mean for 40 days and 40 nights, and then 80, right? It explains why he is, it begins to explain, but this is a separate issue, why he is not with his wife. It begins to explain why his conduct is completely different than every other Navi. And the strange thing is, just skipping ahead for a moment, Miriam, obviously, and Aaron, did not know the level that Moshe Rabbeinu was on, because they judged him harshly for taking what they considered taking an action that wasn't necessary for all other Nevi'im, which is to separate from his wife. They had no idea that Moshe was in a completely different category. Now, in the end of the Torah, if you just skip to the end, Zos HaBracha, the last three psukim of Zos HaBracha, page 1122. Lo kam Navi od b'Yisrael k'Moshe. No Navi ever arose again like Moshe. Asher yado Hashem panim el panim. Face to face Hashem knew him. And l'chol ha'osos u'mosim, and all of the wonders and signs that Hashem sent him to do in Eretz Mitzrayim. Moshe was unique, not only in his status, also in the fact that everything he did was le'enei kol Yisrael, which is unlike any other Navi. Everybody saw it. Moshe was in a completely different madriga. And there's one thing else we have to know, which we will get back to in the future, but keep it in mind. Moshe's nisim and Moshe's nevuah, as they are linked in this pasuk, are on the same madriga, which means to say that once Moshe is raised to a malach, when he speaks on behalf of Hashem and acts on behalf of Hashem, those words he says, when Hashem is speaking through him and he is acting, those words he says are like Vayomer Hashem Yehi Or. They're Torah. They're not the Navi's words. They're not the words of a Navi. They are words that are equivalent to Torah. The Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nisim of Moshe Rabbeinu are the words of Torah itself. They're Hashem's words, they're part of Hashem's Torah. That's why the Torah is called Toras Moshe. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not afraid to call it Toras Moshe. And Chazal explained that it's very strange, but it shows how a king trusts his servant so much that imagine there was a king and he said to the servant, go buy a field over there, sign the contract, put your name on it, and I never will even worry for a second that you're going to say it's your field. The Torah is called Toras Moshe. And every word that came out of Moshe's mouth and the Nisim, which are linked together, are all on the same Madriga, which is unlike any other Navi. Knowing this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intends here, as we read in Perek Dalet, to totally change Moshe's existence into that of a completely different level, he sends him, and yet Moshe still has some resistance, and he once again comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a different form of this type of a complaint or a question. But before we get there, this Moshe that has just been raised up, how do we explain the last two psukim in Perek Vav? In Perek He. Right before Perek Vav, on page 316. Look at these words. Vayomer, right? Vayashav Moshe Hashem Vayomer Hashem. Lama hare osel amazeh. Lama ze shalachtani. How could you have been so bad to these people? Why did you send me? Umeaz bati al paro, from the time I came to paro, ledaber b'shemecha, to speak in your name, heira la'amazeh, you've only made it worse. Vahatzel lo itzalte et amecha. How do we explain these words from Moshe? First of all, simple question. The fact that Moshe argues with Hashem, and of course you know the context, he had gone to paro, paro made it harder, he left, he came back a few months later, the Jewish people saw him, they said, do you know what happened since you've been gone? It's only gotten worse for us, what are you doing to us? And the Jewish people have suffered much more since the first time that Moshe had met Paro. And now, if we move into the next parsha, you know that the real story is about to start. But there was this little blip in this episode where Hashem said to go to Paro, he went, things got worse, and here Moshe complains. And Hashem says, don't worry, you're about to see what I'm going to do. So first of all, does this complaint mean that we can also complain to Hashem when we don't understand what's going on? Is there anyone else in Tanakh who complained and who asked Hashem what he was doing and spoke so harshly? Abraham. Avram said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chalila lecha, shofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. So what does that mean? Can we also speak harshly and put, so to speak, as Elie Wiesel, who hence has definitely done tshuva and has spoken differently, once just talked about putting God on trial? Is this what this means? So how do we put this into context? Clearly, Moshe doesn't have asbaklaria me'ira here if he doesn't know why Hashem is doing, and he's asking Hashem to tell me, what are you doing? What is going on? It's only gotten worse. Is this called a ge'ula? Why are the people suffering? My grandfather Schwab explains that, firstly, it's critical to know that Torah is a science, and it's hard to learn lessons from Torah unless you know exactly, you're guided by which lessons to learn, because we could be taken off track. Abraham's example of arguing with Hashem and Moshe's example of arguing with Hashem in no way give anyone license to argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there is a rule at play here. In both cases, prior to the arguing, here in where we just read, and back by Sodom, if you would just quickly look back by Sodom, which is in Bereishis Yud Ches Chaf Aleph. What are the words that precede Avraham's question? Er dana, I will go down, ve'era, and I will see. If that cry that has come to me is in a... I will see if they act in accordance with that cry that I'm hearing. You see the word Erdana? I will go down. Now turn to Shemos Gimel, Pasuk Ches, which is on page 302. Ve'ered lahatzilo miyad Mitzrayim. And my grandfather explains here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change places. He's not a liquid or a solid or a gas that goes here to there and goes up and down. Ered means I will descend into the intellectual capacity of the human mind. I will descend into your head, in a sense. I will allow my reasons to be understood by you. I will come down into the world of human understanding for this instance and in this instance only. And I will allow you, in this case, to understand my ways. Vayered means into human intellectual grasp. Which explains why when Hashem told Avraham to shecht his son Yitzchak, and it doesn't say ve'ered, I will come down, Avraham doesn't make a peep, doesn't ask one question. And neither does anyone ask any questions in any circumstances except when it says ve'ered and I will come down. So Hashem has already told Moshe, I am going to come down, and I am going to let you try to understand this with your own human capacity, which is what gave Moshe the license to ask the question. But the fact that he asked the question indicates that he didn't quite understand how Hashem operates and why things have to be like this. He did not yet have the asbaklaria me'ira that would eventually be one of his greatest asset, what made him completely different than anybody else. And the word that indicates what Moshe's misunderstanding is the word me'az, the word uz. We're talking about a few simple words today, vayered, and the word uz. The word oz is a strange word. And Chazal tell us that when is the tikkun for this word? He says that Moshe uses this word one more time, and it's a tikkun for this misuse of the word. Oz. Oz yashir. The link between oz yashir and may oz bati el paro from the time I came to paro. May oz. Oz is a very strange little word. Uz can be used to indicate the past tense, as in this case right here, me uz bati al paro, from the time I came to paro. And uz can be used to indicate the future, as in uz yashir. So uz is a strange word in Hebrew. It spans past and future. Moshe was assuming here, based on human logic, that Hashem allowed him to explore these possibilities, to think, to ask. He was entitled to here. Moshe was assuming that since I came to Paro and I spoke in your name, then I would assume that the Geula process is beginning, So it should get a little better, and then a little better than that, and then it should improve even more, and it should be a slow progression until the ge'ula. Things have this cause and effect. There's a sequence. Things go in a logical order, and I came to him, and things got worse. So that doesn't make any sense. So you haven't saved them. Saving the salvation seems to be an ongoing process that should be visible to people, and we should be able to see it developing. That's what Moshe thought. But we understand, as we learned by Az Yashir, that the Jewish people there were in the worst predicament. They had left Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was chasing them to return them. They were not a match to the army of the Egyptians. After all of the great wonders that Hashem had done, which you would imagine would floor the Mitzrayim and just defer to the Jews and let them go, so that didn't work. Somehow all the great, you know, demonstrations of the awe that Hashem had made was still not enough. Here were the Egyptians coming, and there was nowhere to go except the Yam in front of them. And what happens? Their lowest point, their worst point, the Yam splits. When Moshe realizes Az Yashir, that when it comes to the Geula, it doesn't have to be that it goes in order. It doesn't have to be that it's a slow progression to better, better, better until finally it's perfect. Maybe it's not like that. Maybe it goes backwards and then the ge'ula comes. Maybe it gets dismal and dark, completely hopeless, and then there's a ge'ula. Maybe it's not bound to past and present and future, us in the past, us in the future. Maybe the ge'ula is completely separate from the workings, the chronological, normal workings of how things go in this world. This is what Moshe originally understood. He thought, may us it should happen. Az Yashir was the tikkun. That though we not to be disheartened or hopeless by the fact that things are not moving forward and they look like they're moving backwards, that it means nothing in terms of the ge'ula, in terms of the great show of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's salvation. So this is what Moshe was meant to learn here, to open up his eyes so HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in completely different ways, and soon Moshe will be privileged to understand almost everything. However, this doesn't end Moshe's resistance, in a sense, to his shlichus, because further on, now in Perek Vav, he says that he is in Perek Vav pasuk Yud Beis, and then again in pasuk Lamed, he says, "Hein b'nei Yisrael lo yishmu elai, eich yishmeini paro v'ani aral sifasayim," which is a completely different idea. Firstly, we said this could be a reference to Yirmiyahu, that I came, I told them to get rid of their avodah zarahs, they didn't do it, so how will Paro get rid of his avodah zarah? And why would Paro let them serve Hashem when they don't even serve Hashem, they still have avodah zarahs? But Moshe is saying here further that he has a problem to speaking to Bnei Yisrael didn't listen, and Paro he doesn't hope will listen because he is Orel Sifasayim. What does that mean? First of all, we spoke before about the peh and the lashon, the mouth and the tongue, which is internal in his body. But sfasayim are external, and he calls them uncircumcised. What does that mean? Well, we have to know what circumcision is, what an arel is. So one of the brachas that we make at a bris milah is we talk about the bris and we say bischos zeh, in the zechos of this bris, tzave, command, lahatzil yedidus she'erenu meshachas. That's one of the brachas of a bris milah. What does that mean? Yedidus she'erenu meshachas. Because of the zechos of the bris milah that we just did, make a please decree to save the yedid, the beloved of our flesh, from destruction. Who is the Yedid, the beloved of our flesh? The Zivug, so to speak, the Anila Dodi Vidodi Li, the partner of the flesh of a person. So the Neshama and the body are a Zivug. And we have this in a whole class we did, it might even be on the web, called Demystifying the Concept of Bashert, where we talk about the idea that the Neshama and the Guf are a Zivug. And they're a match made in heaven. Because when the little baby is conceived, the little tiny embryo is formed, and HaKadosh Baruch has to choose a neshama to place into that embryo, be its partner forever. That's called a zivug. That's a zivug. The Bali Keita says that's... I don't want to give it away. Okay. but you might have heard, some of you might have heard this already here, But in any case, what we're speaking about is the zivug between the neshama and the guf. In the zichos of the bris milah, Hashem should decree that he should preserve, he should save the yedid, the beloved of our flesh, yedidus she'erenu mishachat, from destruction, because we know that the neshama can be hurt in the course of a person's life by the choices of the body. We want to preserve that. And the bris milah will help us preserve the integrity of the neshama in the body, because it will always simply remind a man that their most basic instincts are all dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, it is like dibur in a certain sense. It keeps the neshama and the body linked, in connection, aware of each other. Taking the body takes the neshama into account. That's the message of the bris milah. That stays with the person all the time. At least it's meant to. Now, that is the person who has no bris milah is called an arel. So an arel clearly indicates that there's no chibur between the neshama and the body. That the fact that the person is an arel means that there's no sign or anything on their body that indicates to them that there's a neshama at work, and there's a whole other world out there that must be expressed through how their body acts and doesn't act. An arel means that there's no connection between the upper and the lower worlds. A person who has a bris milah is aware of the connection. So when Moshe says, I'm an arel sefasayim, Rav Huttner points out in the Ma'amar Tesvav on Pesach, that he's telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the reason I can no longer speak to these people and that I can't do my job is because there is no chibur in me either between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. In Moshe's case, because the upper worlds were so exaggerated now, his ruchnius was so intense that he himself had very little connection to the Olam HaGashmi. And that lack of connection is reflected in dibur, not being able to speak. We've mentioned this idea that dibur indicates the connection between the neshama and the guf. And he says, I am like an my lips are like uncircumcised. There's no connection in me anymore. Very tenuous, a very, very tenuous connection between Moshe's ruchnius, which was beyond that of all people, and the body. Look, isn't it strange that there were three nisim that took place for Klal Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim, and one was the Anane HaKavod, which were in the Zuchus of Aaron, and the Be'er, which was in the Zuchus of Miriam, and what was in the Zuchus of Moshe? The man. What kind of food was man? It was completely ruchnius. In fact, the people were so, it was so difficult for them to uphold that kind of level of ruchnius and eating the man that they went in crazy and begged for meat, some food, tava. They wanted some physical experience. They had no, it was beyond, there was nothing physical about it. That was Moshe's, that was an indication of who Moshe was. Moshe was telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Huttner says, that the chibur between me is so weak, it is now expressed in Arel Sefasayim. So how can I talk to Klal Yisrael? And how can I talk to Paro? And the truth is that through the course of Moshe leading Klal Yisrael, people will say that this was a leader who was so beyond now the Madrega of the generation that he was leading. And yet he had to be, because his words were Torah themselves, and his nisim were Torah. He had to be, otherwise till this day, we would not be here today. We would not be here. Whoever is remaining as Jewish people, dedicated, loyal to the Torah, would not be in existence if Moshe's words were just the words of a Navi, just another person, just a great person. They're Torah themselves. So there was no options. There was a disconnect. There was a distance between Moshe at this point and the nation. But it had to be like this. This was the only way that we would trust forever that Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking not on his behalf, but he was speaking on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the way, Klal Yisrael were not on Moshe's level, but there was one moment where they were raised up, all of Klal Yisrael, to the level of Nevi'im. So for one moment, they would hear Hashem speaking to Moshe. And they would, in a sense, eavesdrop on Hashem's communicating with Moshe. And they would know for sure that Moshe was beyond them, because they were Nevi'im in a sense, that were hearing Moshe give them, in a sense, Nevuah. And they were talking about, I wasn't going to mention this today, but just, we will get back to it, but it is the Pasuk where Hashem tells Moshe, come up on the mountain, And Hashem says to Moshe, I will speak to you. Va'avor yishma ha'am v'dabri imach v'gam b'cha yaminu la'olam. I will speak to you, and the people will hear me speak to you, so that they will trust you forever. He says, "Bavur yishma ha'am, v'dabre imach, v'gam b'chay yaminu la'olam." Here, pasuk, page 402, pasuk tes. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, "Hine anochi ba elecha ba'av ha'anan, bavur yishma ha'am, v'dabre imach, v'gam b'chay yaminu la'olam." In other words, Klal Yisrael did have an opportunity at Har Sinai to hear Hashem speaking to Moshe, so that forever after they would trust Moshe implicitly. And they would understand that Moshe was completely different. So what we have here is that Moshe is now raised up to a level that we said is beyond the nation. However, it would be unfair to leave Klal Yisrael for the 40 years that they have to be in the desert and learning from Moshe Rabbeinu in a situation where their leader has absolutely no relationship, no ability to understand them, and they can't aspire to be where their leader is. We mentioned this last week. Klal Yisrael had to learn how to speak, how to tell a story. They had to know who they are, B'nei B'chor Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu eventually had to learn how to let HaKadosh Baruch Hu really speak through his throat, how to be just a vehicle for the Shekhinah, when he was speaking Divrei Nevuah. However, there were times that Moshe Rabbeinu was not speaking, or Hashem was not speaking through Moshe. There was 40 years of life together where Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe the teacher, Moshe the advisor, Moshe the king, Moshe the savior, Moshe the one who made the important decisions. Not all the time was Hashem speaking through the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. And so Moshe Rabbeinu had to really function now on two levels. He had to function in the times of Nevuah as a mouthpiece, so to speak, like a malach. And then all the other times he had to function as a Navi, as a regular person, as a leader. To bring back the two worlds, to bring the upper worlds and the lower worlds back together, this was reserved for Har Sinai. What happened at the moment of Har Sinai is three things. We mentioned this last week. Vayered Hashem al Har, Hashem comes down, which, based on what we said before, gives all of us permission to question the Torah, to learn, to go back and forth, to ask questions, to try to understand, to figure out the reason of a mitzvah, to see contradictions, to wonder. Otherwise, we'd say, this is Hashem's book, take it and don't ask any questions. This is what it is. The fact that we have an opportunity, a right to involve ourselves with learning, and in the kind of way we do, which is with what they call a robust exchange of ideas and all of that, that comes from the fact that it says Vayered Hashem al Har, that Hashem came down. My grandfather points out that's where you get the whole involvement with learning, the fact that we shakla v'tarya, back and forth questions and answers. But beyond that, Vayered Hashem al Har, v'Moshe Allah el Elokim, Moshe goes up, Hashem comes down. At that moment of Har Sinai, there was a chibur, a connection between the upper worlds and the lower worlds, and expressed itself in a number of ways. It expressed itself in, number one, Moshe's speech impediment was healed. And we're not talking about the physical speech impediment. We're talking about what we're saying now. Moshe had an ability to be a malach at one point and to be able to relate to Klal Yisrael at the same time. Klal Yisrael's speech impediment was healed. Klal Yisrael knew who they were, what they stand for, and what story they will tell throughout the course of history. And the chibur between the upper worlds and the lower worlds are revealed, and we consider Har Sinai is considered a chuppah, a union. It's considered a union between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And I want to end with this idea. Early on in the beginning of Bereshis, when Hashem created Adam, Adam was unique and was perfect and was both male and female. Remember that? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo tove yosa Adam levado. And he put Adam into a tardema, a deep sleep. And in that deep sleep, he spun off. He separated the female part and the male part. This is all true, but this is all also a grand mashal. It is a mashal for humanity. Humanity exists in Perek Aleph, you can read this in Bereishis. It's expressed Tzelem Elokim, perfection, man, male and female, God-like creation, humanity, where in Perek Aleph, Ruchnius and Gashmius are one, as expressed to a person that Rashi says is perfect and thinks it could think it is God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his perfect creation, that is Tzelem Elokim himself, and it says, no, it's not going to be like this. And he puts his creation into a tardema, and in this tardema he separates the Ruchni and the Gashmi, which we can call the Ruchni is associated with the Mashpia, the giver, that's associated with the male, and the Gashmius is associated with the Mekabel, the female, because the Gashmi, this world, receives rain, light, everything physical from the upper worlds, and it also receives the Ruchnius, you know, the truth, the ideas, the purpose from the upper world. So the separation of man and woman, male and female, is like the separation of the Ruchnius and the Gashmius, the giver and the receiver. It never says in Bereishis that Hashem woke them up, which indicates that all of humanity, and it took 2,500 years to get to the moment of Har Sinai, all of humanity was in a tardema. And what is the job of being in a tardema? The ruch, the gashmius, the female, as it says in Bereishis, Hashem brought her back to the ish, to Adam. The purpose of 2,500 years of what Chazal called tohu vavohu until the Torah was given, until 2,000 really, until Avram comes on the scene, but another 500 Har Sinai, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has built it into the system that the Gashmius, the mashal is the Nekeva, the female, the receiver, must work its way back to its source and reunite once more with its source. And that's why the Torah immediately tells us that as soon as he separated them, he brought her, and he told them, you should be one again. But that coming back together as one that we learn about in Bereishis is not automatic. That's how they were created. But they have to reunite. So it's a process of waking up from this deep sleep called the Tardema, and the Mekabel, the so-called female, Klal Yisrael, which played this, did this job for all of humanity, really it was humanity's job, is coming back to the Mashpia, the giver, and in this reunion of the reconnection of Ruchnius and Gashmius, this us here and Hashem there is, we now enter back into the state that we were into before the deep sleep, before the separation. When the Jewish people came to Har Sinai, we said they were Mekabel Torah, they received. They put themselves in a position to receive all that Hashem would be giving from the upper worlds. That means this was a reunion of Ruchnius and Gashmius. Everybody, the physical world was in total harmony with the world of Ruchnius. Hashem Shechina was here, Moshe went up there. He symbolized this total harmony between the two worlds. The Ruchnius and the Gashmius are reconnected. When did the humanity wake up from the Tardema of the first paragraph, the first chapters of Bereishis? At Har Sinai. That's where they woke up. And Hashem tells us, Ata horesa ladas, you have seen it with your eyes. Your eyes were open. And you know, Ki Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem is only God, v'shamayim ma'al v'alaretz mitachas ve'enod. You know it clear as day. You saw it. And so Moshe's job is to get Klal Yisrael there to the reunion of Ruchnius and Gashmius, where many things will come together. Moshe will be a Malach, and he will also be there, Moshe Rabbeinu. Klal Yisrael will be able to understand what our mission is. We will never lose it. We will have woken up. And by the way, we'll end with the idea that when we make the bracha every morning, that last bracha, Hamavir Shena Me'ena Yisunuma Me'afapai, which shouldn't be in the beginning with Pokeach Ivrim, you would think, it's a bracha on this. That as we start our day, we are not at Har Sinai, we're not wide awake like we were. We fell back into a sleep, which we'll speak about in the future. But once your eyes are opened once, no matter how much you go back into your sleep, you still have a memory of what you saw. And you can't fall so deeply back into that dreamland once again before you knew anything. When we make the bracha every morning, Hamavir Shena Me'ena, you remove the sleep from our eyes with Tenuma Me'apapai and the slumber from our eyelids, we mean that every person has a responsibility to wake up and see the connection that was established through Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah of the Ruchnius and the Gashmius, and understand that this world is an expression, the Gashmius is an expression of the Ruchnius, and express it that way, and as is the case in Moshe Rabbeinu, so is the case with great people till this very moment, that you cannot tell by looking at a person and through their basic day-to-day actions how great they are, how parish they are from this world. You don't always know how much their ruchnius and is alive. And this is a private thing, just like by Moshe Rabbeinu. And don't forget the model of Yosef. Yosef also was the same model. There's a total righteousness in the midst of the whole thing. So Klal Yisrael here are beginning to learn the lesson that we live with every day, that there is a special purpose for us, and we live a life of union of the two, and yet separation of the two. That everything here is infused with the Ruchnius purpose, and yet it's very much connected. We live through through this world, through every opportunity here, we express the Ruchnius is at play. So this is our job all the time. And let me just mention quickly, when we say, we ensure that the lesson we learned at Har Sinai of this union, okay, between the upper world and the lower world is not lost, because every day when we say Shema, this is what we reiterate. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is our Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemaim. That's Kabbalah, receiving, becoming the receiver of the Ruchnius. And we mentioned once before, Rav Huttner points out, and this we will end with, it is the reiteration specifically of the first two dibros. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, that is Anochi, Hashem Elokecha. Hashem Echad, that is Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim. So we reiterate, we makabel, we understand that that is the framework within which we live all the time.
Just one more note in addition to the shir. When we quoted the pasuk in Perek Dalet, where Hashem says to Moshe in response to Moshe saying that he is kaved peh v'kaved lashon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers Moshe, Anochi eye im picha b'horei sicha asher tadaber. That's pasuk. That's pasuk Yud Beis. We said that the word v'horei ticha is milashon hara. Now, I didn't mean to imply lashon hara as in slander, but milashon from the same word, from the same shoresh and root as hara, as in herayon, as in conception, as in vatahar ha'isha, and the woman conceived. We say in Rosh Hashanah, hayom haras olam, today is the day the world was conceived. That Moshe, at 80 years old here, would be conceived again, so to speak, reborn as a completely different person. Now, we know, by the way, that when Moshe was originally born, Chazal tell us he was born with a bris milah. He was an altogether different kind of person, no question, with unusual abilities. And yet, he needed to achieve even greater levels, which we're beginning to start right now. Now, by the way, this explains something from Parshas Bo, which we will not have a shir on. Everybody asks why Hashem says, Bo el Paro, come to Paro, as opposed to Lech el Paro. And Chazal answer, Bo imadi, come with me to Paro. I am with you. And this is developing further the idea that we have established, that Chazal say, Shechina medaberet mitoch gorono shel Moshe, that as a Navi, the Shechina spoke through his throat. This was not Moshe interpreting anything, or doing his using the best of his abilities to understand a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was Hashem speaking directly. Okay. Have a good week, everybody.